Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this thing that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, and because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin, and clothed them." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise to table for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, many are the sorrows of the wicked. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you fight a war? How do you actually go about figuring out how to fight your enemy, figuring out where you need to have your people, where your resources are supposed to go? Well, an important part of that is that you are going to want to know your enemy as much as you can. You're going to want to know their tactics. You're going to want to know their strategy. You're going to want to know their motivation. Why are they trying to do what they're doing? Our text for today gives us at least two of those, thanks to Jesus. We learn quite a bit here about the tactics and the strategy of our enemy, the devil. And maybe we even get a little bit of a glimpse at his motivation too. We see that the tactics of the devil here is that he's always trying to get you to do the same thing over and over and over again. His tactics against Jesus in our gospel reading for today is the same exact thing as what he was doing against Eve and Adam at the very beginning. He's trying to get them and us to doubt the word. Did God actually say, "If you really are the Son of God"? And his strategy in doing this, what he's trying to accomplish, is he's trying to destroy your faith. I do think we miss that sometimes. Make no mistake, the devil is also probably trying to kill us and to afflict us with illnesses and all that kind of stuff. But his ultimate goal, his ultimate thing that he's trying to do, doesn't have to do with our physical life here so much as it does with our spiritual life in eternity. He's trying to drag you down to hell with him. And he does this by destroying your faith in your God. So that's his tactics. He tries to get you to doubt the word. His strategy is that he's striving to destroy your faith. And maybe his motivation is that he wants to be worshipped like God is worshipped. Although that one's a little bit more questionable, I would say. So for today, we're going to focus on the tactics and the strategy here. Because, of course, if the devil is willing to try and assault and besiege Jesus, the very Son of God, and he's going to try and get Jesus, the Son of God, to fall into sin, then you better expect that he's going to come and try and get you to do that as well. It's probably unlikely that the devil himself will do this. He'll likely send a demon or rely on the world or our own sinful nature, but make no mistake, it is happening. So then, as we look at this story, maybe we should remember first where we are in kind of the grand story of Matthew here in Matthew 4. We should remember that Jesus was just baptized. He had just gone down into the river, and John the Baptist had immersed him in the water, brought him up. And right after that, as Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens split open, and the Father speaks and declares that Jesus is his Son. And not only that, but the Spirit descends like a dove and lands on Jesus, showing us that it is now time for Jesus to begin his ministry. Immediately after that, Mark says, the Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness. And Jesus is out there for 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And it is only at that point that along comes the devil. The devil tempts Jesus three times that we know of. It's possible that he did it more, but these are the three that we have. And he does this in three separate but similar ways. First, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Second, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down and the angels will catch you. And third, all these I will give to you, speaking of the kingdoms and the nations of the world, if you will only worship me. Those are the three temptations. And notice what the devil is doing here. Notice the tactics. God the Father had just 40 days ago come down and spoken to Jesus and said, "You are my beloved Son." The devil is trying to get Jesus to doubt that. He keeps on asking, well, if you're really the Son of God, then do this or do that. He's trying to get Jesus to doubt the very word of the Father. And notice that the devil did not come to Jesus on the very first day of his fasting. No, he came on the 40th day, at the point when Jesus would have been at his weakest. The devil is a scavenger. He comes for us when we're weak, not when we're strong. He tries to take advantage of Jesus' hunger. And he tries to twist the word. He tries to twist it to make Jesus sin. Recognize this truth. The devil knows the Bible at least as good as we do, probably a whole lot better. The devil knows the word of God, he just doesn't believe it. But he's certainly willing to use it, to twist it, to try and make us doubt the very word. He even goes so far as to try to use Jesus' faith against him. That's what he's doing when he says, if you just cast yourself off of the temple, then God will protect you, because here, he's made these promises about that, right? This is how the devil works. He tries to get us to doubt. He tries to get us to prove that God is real, to prove our faith in him. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, he tries to bribe Jesus. He tries to bribe him with the entire world. And we're going to leave aside the question of whether or not the devil was actually able to offer this, because that's a very interesting question, but it's probably more than we have time to talk about today. We'll assume that he was, though. We'll assume that the devil was, in fact, able to offer the kingdoms of the entire world. He tries to bribe Jesus with the world. And Jesus would have only had to give up everything else in order to do it, including, in fact, the world at the end of the day. Recognize that this is just how the devil comes for us as well. He tries to get us to doubt. He takes advantage of our weaknesses. He twists the word in ways that we wouldn't expect. He even tries to use our very faith against us. And he tries to bribe us with the riches and pleasures of the world. That's his tactics. That's what he's trying to do. Or maybe that's how he's trying to destroy your faith. But then recognize how Jesus responds to this. Because, of course, as important as it is to recognize the tactics of the devil in this story, it's probably more important to recognize the tactics of Jesus. Jesus does not simply end the devil. Think about that for a second. God is all powerful. Jesus is all powerful. He could simply say that the devil doesn't exist anymore. But he didn't. That's not how he chose to fight this devil, this evil. He also doesn't send him to hell. We know he's going to do this eventually. We know that this is part of what's going to happen, is that Jesus will send the devil and his demons, as well as all unbelievers, to hell. But he doesn't do it yet. That's not what he does here. He doesn't even send him just away from him. Again, Jesus could have done this, and he does after the third temptation, right? He says, "Be gone." And the devil has to leave. The devil cannot stand against a command of God like that. But that's not where Jesus starts. That's not how Jesus starts this fight. It's not how he continues this fight. Instead, all that he does is he quotes the Bible three times. Out of all of the things that Jesus could have done as God to do this, he instead chooses to fight the devil as a human. Because, of course, we couldn't simply end the devil. We can't send the devil to hell. We can't even really just tell him to go away and expect him to do so. But we can quote the word. We can know the word. Jesus here is not only trying to defend himself, he's trying to show us how to defend ourselves as well. And ultimately, maybe even more than that, maybe Jesus recognizes the truth that, you know, all of those other options are options, but they're not as good as simply believing in the word of his Father. At the end of the day, that's what the devil is trying to get Jesus to do. He's trying to get Jesus to doubt the word of the Father, and Jesus instead chooses to simply believe them. If we had been in Jesus' situation with all of the powers available to him, we would have reacted very differently than Jesus. We likely would have tried to rely on our own power, when what we should have done It simply had faith in the word of God. Jesus gives us an example here of how to fight the devil and win as a human. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, Scripture says. And the way that you resist the devil is not by somehow coming up with the willpower to fight against him. It's not by trying to trick him or trying to deceive him or anything like that. The way that you resist the devil is simply by believing in the word that he is trying to get you to doubt. That's how you do it. You trust in the word that God has spoken to you. But we fail in this every single day. The devil and his demons come and tempt us, and we fall into sin, just like Eve, just like Adam. The world comes to us and it weasels its way into us with its bribes of riches and pleasures and all of the shiny, flashy new things that we have nowadays, tempting us away from our reliance on God, and we sin. We're even fighting against ourselves here. Our very own sinful nature is constantly trying to drag us away from Jesus and the cross. And we sin. But not Jesus. The devil tried his best to get Jesus to fall. He tried his best to get Jesus to sin, and the devil failed. The world came and tried to kill him, and they succeeded, only to realize that they had played right into Jesus' hand, and that in killing him, they killed death. That in Jesus dying on the cross, he saved the world and bought the nations and the peoples of the world that the devil had been offering him with his very own blood. Our sinful nature brought upon Jesus the torment of hell. And it would have been easy for him to simply put it off, to set it aside, to not save us rather than suffer that torture. But he didn't. Even our own sinful nature failed to defeat Christ. Jesus won the war. He succeeded where we would have failed and where we continue to fail. And in so doing, he has rescued us. Rescued you and me from the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. You are forgiven for the times you gave in to temptation. You are forgiven for the times you went after the world rather than the word. You are forgiven for the times you gave in to your sinful nature. All because of what Christ did. All because of how he died on the cross for you, and all because he defeated the devil on that day. Make no mistake. We should strive against the devil and his temptations. We need to resist the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, and we do that by trusting in the word that our Lord has given us. That is how Jesus did it. The word is trustworthy and strong, and if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Trust the word that has promised you that you are forgiven, that you are free, that you are his. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.